Again, on the table 7.1 on page 114 of the annual report shows that four senior management members did not sign the performance agreement. What are the reasons for that? How will they be assessed during performance assessment period? Thank you, Chair.
Committee to sit without the political leadership being present, because some of the questions are political because they relate to issues that touch on policy, and I think those could be better referred by the political leadership of the department. However, let us put the time aside for today. My first issue here is the issue of the university branch. I read in the presentation Sefako Mahaso University is one of the universities of the kind, the best of its kind in the country. They registered as a juristic person like all other universities are. Which says to me that it is autonomous, like all universities are. I wanted to know the role administratively of the department in universities vis-a-vis the autonomy. You spoke about those targets today. For instance, success rate, 76% you had targeted, but it's not a target that is really set by the department. It is a target set by the universities themselves because they are autonomous. My question is, to what extent do we as a department get involved in issues relating to universities because they are autonomous in terms of legislation? If I were to be straightforward with my question. My next question goes to program four, is it? The TVET colleges. Yes, program four. There is still this problem in the TVET colleges of the programs that are offered today. There is still the problem of the dated program, which is said to be outdated, and it was in the process of being phased out, and the introduction of the NCG program. But the dated program had to remain because the industry is demanding that kind of qualification. They would prefer that as compared to the NCG. Now, what is the situation? What are we doing? Are we, do students have an option to take either an N or an NCV, or is it a combination that is structured by the colleges themselves? Can they take one without the other, or they are compelled to take both at different levels? I want to know. Coupled to this question is the issue of qualifications for lecturers. It was said that there are five universities that have been earmarked to work on the curriculum to assist with the upgrading or capacitation of TVET college lecturers. I don't know the progress that has been made in that regard, because we need to deliver quality education. It's not only, they were not going to be working alone. They were going to be working with the Higher Education Council. They were going to work with this first they were going to work with the industry, I want to believe, because they need to make an input in terms of what they demand. They were supposed to be working with QTCO, and I want to know the progress that has been made in that regard, because we must ensure that the lecturers that deliver the curriculum at the level of TVET colleges are qualified for the job that they are doing. Because it's not going to assist to produce learners that are paid, because they have not been handled by appropriately qualified lecturers. Under Program 1, the vacancy rate, I do want to support the members that are worried about that. But you said, Ms. Mpopo, that there was collective agreement number 1 of 2012. You had to shift the funds to that and you had to sacrifice vacancies. Again, that's a political decision. Do we have to remain with vacancies that are not filled because we need to honor upgrading of salaries? Which comes first? Is it the unemployment issue, or is the issue of addressing those that are already in the system but they want to be upgraded? And also the issue of bursaries recipients at TVET colleges. We appreciate the fact that there is success rate, but it is not that good at the level of TVET colleges. I mean, the amount of money that we invest in terms of bursaries at that level, as compared to the output, are we getting any return really on investment? And who is checking down the progress of those students that receive monies in terms of whether they do get the qualification study and complete and get to the world of work? Or are they dropping off and we cannot even recoup the funds that were given to them? Who is checking their progress and is that set to that effect? The issue of the background check of the employees that we employ in the department. Why is it that we sometimes employ people whose backgrounds have not been checked in terms of their qualification, to authenticate their qualifications? The issue of performance awards. It should appear that they are confined to certain levels, upper levels, and levels 1 and 2 are not accommodated insofar as the performance hours are concerned. And what is going to happen to those universities and colleges that have not met the audit requirements? They were not ready to submit their books for audit. What is the department going to be doing about them in terms of ensuring that they submit the books, because they do need to be audited? And then the framework or the finalization of the framework for skills supply and demand. We are looking forward to the finalization of that. When do you think we're going to be able to finalize that? And then in this book, your actual report, where you extrapolated your presentation on page 199, there is reflected under number 7, amounts that the provinces have actually returned to the Department of Higher Education and Training. Those amounts that have been retained had been planned for certain programs at that level. What I want to know is whether those programs have not been affected by those funds being retained to the Department of Higher Education and Training, and the output. Has the output not been affected by the return of those funds? And then finally, I know that TVET colleges and staff, the migration was finalized somewhere during April 2015. I want to know the issue relating to salaries. What is the salary arrangement vis-a-vis the qualifications that people have? Has that issue been attended? And the issue of people at the level of TVET colleges having degrees but being supervised by people that maybe would have N5 or N6. How do you deal with that kind of situation? But in the main, I just want to know whether you have rationalized the salaries now that they are within the Department of Higher Education and Training. Those are the few questions that I have. We cannot ask all of the questions, but at least if you could kindly respond to those that you can, I will allow you leeway. What is the time? Yeah. I will allow the department to actually respond in writing with some of the issues where you don't have the answers readily available. You can answer one or two of the questions that you have asked. The rest, you can actually respond to the select committee in writing. That is the option that we're giving you in the interest of time.
Chairperson, honourable members, thank you very, very much for those details, questions and comments. And Chairperson, I think it will be quite helpful because a number of these areas are very substantive questions. Some of them are policy questions, some of them are for engagement and debate, and it would have been good to have had maybe another session at some time with the select committee to really go into detail about understanding ourselves, understanding your concerns, and to be able to engage. That being said, I think some of these questions I was also indicating that we could follow up on because they're detailed information, they're not directly related to the agenda item on hand. But however, they are very, very important. So I'm going to try to look at the responses in terms of directly things emanating from this report. I'll go through some of those things. I'll make comments on the others, Chairperson, and then colleagues here will fill up, but we will then track, and when we get back home, we will look at what is the missing issues and send you a report.
Okay. Maybe before continue with the response, let me hear what Honorable Dlamini wants to say.
My apologies, Chair, it's just one matter which I forgot to ask. The coordination of bursaries, tertiary institutions, do you, maybe beyond your control, do you know how many students who receive bursary from the state, starting from municipalities and parastatals? I'm just throwing the stone.
Okay. It might need a follow-up response. But let me hand over to the department.
Thank you very much. Firstly, let me just indicate the whole issue of the student funding matter, particularly around universities. Jefferson, when you opened this meeting, you indicated that there was a very, very important joint co-minister saying, our minister, our deputy minister, our CFO, our university's DDG, are all there beginning to understand how we're going to be able to deal with three issues. Number one is, are there any shortfalls at this financial year? Two is, how are we going to find the money not we as a department, how we as a country are going to find the money within our national budget to be able to deal with the issue of the 0% increase for 2016-17. And yes, Parliament is now sitting rightly in terms of the money bills, etc. Parliament will have to assist in making that decision about reprioritizing. I am aware that the Budget Office of Parliament, as well as the National Treasury, are working under the coordination of our DG and the DG of National Treasury. So the money, in terms of the commitment, will be found in regards to this particular area. So there is a short-term, medium-term, and long-term particular trajectory. There are some policy issues that need to be dealt with and dealt with quite clearly and quite firmly in regards to fee-free education for the poor. And I think, Chairperson, it's not going to, I mean, we may be able to take this debate up at some time, but we have to give the processes the President and Parliament is leading in regards to this matter. Because they currently, as we're sitting, they're sitting and deliberating over those particular issues that are out of our hands as officials. And my colleagues are going to come in with this particular issues of details. I can give you, Mr. Bobo will tell us about filling of vacancies at colleges, but all I can see is this report refers to the vacancies at our departmental offices. To the question that was raised by Mr. Kroenewald. The education and lecturer skills, Ms. Magnus will respond on that, but I must say that we've got a plan. I've just come back from Brussels, and that was the question. Who paid for my visit to Brussels? It was paid by government. What did I come back with? We came back with 26 million euros. And that's what I came back with. And that was last week. We had a discussion in regards to the upgrading not only of lecturers and the qualifications for lecturers, but also early childhood care, etc. So I can follow up with the international. We've got those reports around those bilateral agreements. All our bilateral agreements is we don't pay except for refreshments if we're sitting in the meeting for foreign delegations. So if they come during lunchtime, if they come between 9 and 11, they will just get tea and some light drink and refreshments. And for official government delegations from other countries, we just provide ground transport. When we're going to take them from ground transport, means taking them at the airport, taking them to the hotel, taking them to the various venues. And a similar reciprocity is given to us. So, for example, I myself and one official funded our trip to the EU last week, but the EU funded 30 delegates as part of their funding because we had a seminar also. But we can give you more reports in regards to that, what we're achieving. I think I've answered the question whether we can afford all university students. Do we have a plan? The issue is yes, we have different scenarios, different plans, but we need to determine where the locus of the ability is to be able to shift and prioritize resources as a country. And we look forward to the documents Honourable Matthijs has referred to. It will add on to a number of our other particular documents. But we are serious. As a department, our aim is we would love all the money we have and to be able to provide all the education that we can within the process. But I indicated there is a process, and I think that for the first time, the whole of the nation has taken note of the frustration. Especially the passionate issue that Honourable Rosin Makuru that particularly raised around as an example. I can say and if equivocally to Honorable Mateus, that our department does not outsource or we do not get involved in any labor program. So our cleaning services, our security services, everything is provided by staff that we employ. There is one exception, but it's not the department, and that's the National Skills Fund, is that they've just moved into new offices and they have taken on a security contract. But that is just because we've moved in now, post has to be established, there's a moratorium on post by National Treasury, and the National Skills Fund is a separate entity, but they themselves, it's a stopgap issue until we get into the normal cycle. In terms of the, I think the issue that was raised is how targets were set. Chairperson, the targets is correct. The recent set plan, we set the targets in regards to the affordability and in terms of the budget, but also, as I indicated, we are the department that deliver on policies. And sometimes a lot of those particular things are not money related. So I may have to ensure that there is an international engagement report. So the report was not achieved, but I was employed. So the issue is that it was a process issue. In other words, a process issue means that it's not real goods and services, but it's a process. For example, approval by the minister. So the time that document sets. There were other targets. I must indicate that there were other targets that we could not convince the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation for us to revise those targets because they were not under our control. So we are playing the game by the rules. Those targets were set. And if we did not, and to the Honorable Member, Honorable Damini, raised the issue of the dashboard. All the programs on that particular presentation, from Program 1 to Program 5, have the dashboard, except that in skills, because they had so many, it looked so much. But if I understood the colors, and I saw Mr. Kearns was flipping through, in each program those particular colors were shown, if I'm if I'm correct. On the question of enough purpose and what are we I'm not sure about it. Do we have enough capacity in universities? Oh yes, yes. Look, the issue is not about the capacity of universities in the first instance. The issue is around funding for expansion. Now whether it's in Tibet or whether it's around universities, it's not the number of new universities, because we can have universities of a very large size. We can have TVET colleges of a very large size. It's the additional particular facilities. So if we have money for expansion, if you want to increase the number by 10%, we have to make sure that we increase the budget for lecturers as well as the budget for infrastructure. Capacity in regards to infrastructure and lecturers will have to go hand in hand if we do have money to increase enrollment. So I mean that's self-correcting. In regards to the University of Free State, I think my friend Chief Mabizela will begin to answer that in regards to some of the programs of integration. And I think the words, honorable members, you were looking for is that's the issue of diversity training. In other words, how do we get to know each other as people? How do we get to understand each other and live in each other's spaces? Now, in regards to the overachievement, that is the question, particularly in regards to the 10,000 extra students taken in. I think it's a very valid question. as to who paid for those particular extra issues. So I'm going to ask our Chief Director, Chief Mabizela, to perhaps explain the over-enrollment area. It may be in terms of the way the data is collected, but we can always clarify that. We do have the M&A office one, it's an absolutely question. The Auditor General has indicated it. I tried to look for it in the AG report here, but in the management report the AG has given, the AG has continuously stressed that the department is getting this type of reports because the department is underfunded in regards to monitoring and evaluation of such a large system. We've got 101 entities, and Chairperson, I'll be honest, almost an impossible task to manage monitoring and evaluation of those entities, of the universities, of the TVET colleges, with all the restrictions and limitations put in terms of the filling of both, in terms of increasing our headcount, in terms of cost-cutting measures, etc. It's almost an impossible task to do that. But the point is, we would want to have that. At the moment, colleagues are doing as much as they can within the 24 hours that's available to them per day in terms of being able to do that. In terms of the relationship between the percentage of overspend or underspend versus performance, I've gone through this performance achievements, Honourable Member. A number of them are not related to direct budgets. So, for example, if we did not deliver, say, computers, then was there a saving? The other issue is, if we did not deliver a document, was there a saving? So, in some cases, if we are using our own power or process, we will not be able to deliver, but the money would have been spent. The same thing in regards to targets. Take the targets for recent concern in terms of success. Those are not under the control. The allocation was done to the college. The teaching was done. The outcome was not achieved, but the money was spent. So it is looking at that particular relationship. At the end of the day, whatever savings there are, they get absorbed. So if we look at in terms of the annual report, we look at shifts of money. Money is shifted from program 2 to program 1, or from program 4 to program 3. So there's been low achievement, but it has dealt with the issue of issue. My colleague Dinichi Mbobo will speak to you about risk management issue. I think, Chairperson, you indicated the issue is that, look, free education is a matter that is a policy particular issue and has to be taken within the context of the processes underway in Parliament. The bursaries of how many other government departments, Chairperson, we do have now a bursary unit in the department. We are trying to establish that for coordination. We will go back and see what information we do have, and then we will make that available. Chairperson, I see Honourable Mapuru is back. Mr. Kearns, the Chief Director of Supply Chain, will try to answer the issue of the supply chain, why it takes so long. The NSFAS issue. I mean, I cannot but more than agree with Honourable Member that it's very disheartening if we do agree in policy that the funding must go to the poor, and if there are these various things that are happening, it's disheartening when a poor person has to look at somebody that does not deserve it over them in regards to that. So the issue of identity documents, the issue of verification, it's an absolutely issue that NSFAS has been put under notice, so as to speak. We've got a new chairperson there, there's new systems that are being developed, the minister has approved a forensic audit, etc., to be able to, and as I heard you correctly, what you're saying is that you know it's hard, but you're willing to pay, but there are others that probably don't particularly deserve it. It's a difficult issue that we have to deal with, but let's take it under this whole process around the whole issue of fees in post-school education and training. The basic issue of the department on page 102, I don't know, Mr. Moore, whether you take that one. Let me just see what that is about. Thank you for that. Mr. Babu will the performance management toolkit. We do have a performance management system, but the issue is that the Auditor General has said we needed a computerized system. So we have to capture all these tables, etc., on the computerized system, and that's what was the... Because the auditor flagged it as an issue, that the Auditor General flagged it as an issue, we had to go and procure it. It was an internal audit. We had to procure it, and it is now being implemented in the department. Jefferson, the other policy issue about the role of the department versus autonomous, and to what extent do we get involved in terms of legislation? I think members will pretty soon see the Higher Education Amendment Bill, but I must say the Higher Education Act clearly in the preamble talks of three things. It talks of academic freedom, which is non-negotiable. What you say, what research you do, as long as it's within ethical standards, you have the academic freedom to pursue it, whether it's academic rigor, criticism, but in the evidence-based and research-based, we cannot tell professors what to teach, how to teach, and how to do their research. There is none. Now, academic freedom is a constitutionally guaranteed right. Institutional autonomy is a balanced right around responsibilities, roles and responsibilities, between public accountability, and if you use public money, this parliament's money, the money that this parliament sets aside, then clearly people must be able to answer. Now the issue of autonomy is you can get autonomy of management, you can get autonomy to use your money as you want to, but one thing we're very clear of, that where it is involved in constitutional matters, nobody can have an autonomy above the Constitution. So we will deal with issues of transformation, of racism, of squandering of public funds, etc. And to what extent do we get involved in terms of the legislation? That's the point I want to make. If that's, how can I say, forthcoming a section, if let's engage with the Higher Education Bill that is coming through. Children's colleges, Ms. Magnus will talk about the issue of programs, NATED, etc. The qualifications of lecturers, Chief Mabizela can speak about it, but I just indicated that we've come back from the EU with 26 million euros dealing with that. Universities are being identified to develop systems, processes, programs, qualification for this particular area. The research on bursary recipients, Chief Mabizela, if you know about it, that there was some work done by NSFAS, but we can always follow it up in regards to that. Mr. Bobo will deal with the performance awards issues and the verification of qualification. Very, very good question. What is going to happen to universities and TV did not meet the audit requirements? The branches will be taking this particular matter up, but the normal procedure would be that they would be sent a letter for the council to investigate, because this is the process for the council to investigate. Not so much, well, in both, but especially in terms of the TVEF, because they fall under the PFMA, that letters will be sent. And I'm hoping program managers are noting that particular one. Chairperson, the skill supply and demand report is due to be... yes. The framework is published already. I can bring this available. It's the template. But the template is about what we will publish And that publication will be next year. There's a question of return of funds by provinces. What was not delivered? Lots were not delivered in regards to this, Chairperson. Remember, we had conditional grants, and that conditional grants were allocated to the colleges. The province was not spending that money, they said, to come back. What has not been delivered? Lots has not been delivered. We inherited on the 1st of April the colleges. Chairperson, you know, it was a major particular process. A lot of what we inherited are inherited from procedures and processes and funding by provinces themselves. We've received the budget on the 1st of April this year. That's about 6 months ago. Now, if I move the money that one province has overspent compared to another province, it's going to affect. So we have a plan of equalizing between the provinces. So you may find that Gauteng had undertaken particular process. For example, they got 47 AA centers. KwaZulu-Natal got 6,000. We can't equalize it immediately, Chairperson, because then 6,000 principals are affected in KwaZulu-Natal. We have to move money from KwaZulu-Natal or from Gauteng to another province. Behind the money is tied up people. So we must have a plan, and we must have an equity plan to be able to move in regards to that. In regards to the functions of issue relating to salaries, Chairperson, I suspect you're talking about one of the collective agreements. And again, in one college, when we did this analysis of the non-implementation of recognition of RQVs and the salary, Chairperson, there's a shortfall of 4 million rand. And it's not acceptable, absolutely not acceptable, that people in colleges for 4 years, their qualifications were not recognized. They did not get the salary for it. And we have a process where we want to correct that across the board, but somebody has to pay. We don't have the money, but we committed and we must deal with it. So Mr. Bobo can't speak to you, but about that particular collective agreement, in terms of regularizing that. They're not in all cases and not in all provinces, but the example I'm giving you is one province where the issue of RQV and pay progression. The issue of supervision by N5, N6 of RQV is another particular matter around the management position versus normally us older people may have less qualification than the newborns. What do we call them? That's the things I've covered, Chairperson, and I've named colleagues here. If it's through you, they can deal with their specific issues. Mr. Bobo.
Thank you very much, Mr. Patel. I will quickly go through the questions that were not dealt with by the leader of the delegation. So listen, there was a question on policies. When will they be in place? I didn't get it, whether is it policies related specifically on colleges. But in regard to policies in terms of administration, we actually have 48 policies that the department has developed. We are in the process of consulting now through the relevant structures for implementation by 1 April 2016. As you would know, when staff move from colleges, they move in terms of the Labor Relations Act, and Section 197 says that they moved with their existing conditions of service. The employer, which is now the DHET, the new employer, has got 12 months to develop new policies. That also includes conditions of service, to normalize conditions of service within that period of 12 months. So we are currently working on standardizing all policies across all colleges, but also standardizing the conditions of service across all colleges for implementation by 1 April 2016. Then there was a question on vacancies, whether are they in admin or teaching. The report, Chairperson, relates to 2014, up to 31st March 2015, so that does not cover colleges. It's only the department, the head office. I think our report then for this year will then include, you know, vacancies at colleges. Then there was a question around Mr. Patel deals with labor brokering in risk management. Yes, indeed, there is a risk management committee in the department, which is chaired by Honorable Mr. Patel. There is a unit in the office of the DDG for corporate services. We have risk policies, fraud prevention policies. The department has actually a risk management plan in terms of the strategic risk as well as the operational risk. And yes, indeed, some of the things that are happening now would have been, you know, picked up during our risk assessment exercise. And the department has chairperson over, I think, the last 3 years, been going, coming here to Parliament, going to National Treasury, saying we need more money, we need to increase NSFAS. So indeed, some of these things were picked up, and we did alert the necessary, the relevant structures of such risks. Mr. Kent will deal with the supply chain management issue in terms of the period it takes to award a bid. On the capacity of the department, page 102, Chairperson, the Minister approved the organizational structure of the
department. Let me just interject, Mr. Bob.
Yes.
That will be the last question that you respond to the rest. Please respond in writing.
Oh, okay. I think we are very upfront and frank in the report that the department does not have capacity. And it's capacity in terms of, you know, the growth of the department, the expansion. We've expanded by 38,000, but our size in terms of administrative capacity has not improved. So, I don't know if I should stop.
No.
Okay, thanks.
I don't know who next is going to respond. If there is any very important issue that you want to respond to now, otherwise you are at liberty to respond in writing.
Thanks, Chairperson. Could I just ask, if it's very, very burning, so let's not go into explanation, if it's burning, a quick response for honourable members. Otherwise, you can just keep your hands down and then we can respond in writing. I just want to check with colleagues through your chair, if there's anybody, a very quick explanation. All right.
Thank you very much. We have come to the end of our engagement. Thank you very much for the responses that you have given us, Mr. Patel and your colleagues. I do want to say that we are quite aware that the Department of Higher Education and Training has grown to be very, very big. I mean, dealing with 101 entities, it's not easy. And it requires a lot of financial resource. So you shall have to make sure that you cut down on the non-essentials, keep knocking at the door of Treasury, because there is a lot of work to be done. But thank you for the euros that you provided. This is good news, and we hope that it's going to be to produce. The issue of NSFAS, I don't think you want to delve into that, but it is an administrative nightmare that the department will have to sort out, because I've always advised as a committee that we don't think it is wise for the department to use college staff to do the administration or university staff. Rather, it should be staff from NSFAS, because accountability is going to be easy that way. But if you take your money and you give it to somebody else and you just throw it and you hope that they are going to do justice, such problems are going to crop up. So that was our advice to the department. The issue of the department, it's a Makele in the department for litigation in a matter. To the value of about 3 million. That doesn't occur well. I don't know whether it is improper implementation of some of the policies or issues or matters, or it's with regard to planning, but as far as one of my to that extent, there is something wrong. We need to reduce Amatala, when Amatala is ring and all. Please look into that. The issue of litigation is too much. And also the issue of accreditation, especially in program four. I know that we issue qualifications by the different colleges, but I don't know if all those qualifications are accredited by the relevant sitters or the relevant bodies. Your workshops are not accredited. What is the value of the certificate that you issue? Those are the issues that we need to look into. And the targets for program four are very, very low. I mean, if you target that you are going to pass only 57%, naturally you are going to get 34%. Because the target in itself is very low. I understand that there are financial constraints, there are staff issues, but those are the issues that Ms. Mbop, you need to look into when you do the human resource administration and also the Department of Finance within the department to ensure that Program 4 is properly funded. The issue of Program 5, skills development, we are very happy because this country is really looking for artisans. Artisanry is the critical issue, and you have been exceeding your targets. However, we hope that in the process of doing that, we have not been fiddling wrongly with the budget. So with those few words and those remarks, I want to say that go and take note of the notes of the Auditor General, but we do want to congratulate you that you have maintained an unqualified audit ever since the inception of the department. That is very good. But let us then go and improve performance to be equal to the audit outcomes and attend to those issues that the Auditor General keeps on raising, and then we move towards a clean audit. We were supposed to have been at the level of a clean audit last year already, but I suppose that we are going to be able to move there. This is what we are looking forward to as this select committee. Having said that, I think we are going to conclude this meeting at that note. Thank you very much. Okay. Honourable members, we've got minutes to adopt. After adopting the minutes, I would request the NC members of this committee to please remain. There are issues that we need to sort out. Thank you. Honourable members, we've got 2 sets of minutes to pass. It's the minutes of the 14th of October, 2015. That is where we're dealing with the reports of the select committee. I don't know if members want to raise anything in that regard. It is just a page. Honourable Mambur.
I just want to indicate that I'm not captured in the attendance register, because I remember that we were meeting the Department of Water and Services and Cape Town Road. I said you were check up for the able to be on the phone. She caught me a lot when I want to bring all that back. There's Cape Town Road in attendance at meeting. But anyway, Chairperson, I didn't see any mistakes in my watch.
Okay. That will be corrected. Other than that, is there an issue? I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. Honorable Mamboru, seconded by Honorable Samka. Thank you very much. The next set of minutes are the minutes of the 28th of October 2015 that were held at the old assembly, where we are briefed by the Department of Basic Education. Where we did not have echo. Is there an issue to correct in page 1 or include on page 1? Honorable Mapur?
Yes, Chair. I attended this meeting, but I requested to leave early, as I indicated that I had a also on the
that will be so corrected. Any issue to raise on page 2? Any issue to raise on page 3? And any issue to raise on page 4? Therefore, I seek a member to move Groenewald, Honorable Groenewald, seconded by Honorable Dlamini. Thank you very much. Then we've come to the end of our meeting. Okay. Oh, sorry, those members that had not joined the committee at the beginning, I introduced our new content advisor, Mr. Kumla, Lindumzi Kumla. He is our new content advisor for the select committee.
Okay.
These are the members. You get them by their name. You'll get to know them better as you go. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You want to be like
your friend. Oh,
okay.
Oh.
Let me be asked.
Yeah.